On this episode of the BrewAuthority.com 5-Minute Beer Break.
And this isn't as strong as other IPAs.
Definitely not. And this one clocks in, by the way, at 6.5% alcohol by volume. Mm. Hello from New York State. This is the New York Brew Authority's 5-Minute Beer Break with the BrewAuthority.com editor, Blake, and me, Tom, a guy who likes beer. Blake, are you with us via Skype?
Yes, I am, Tom. Good to see you.
Excellent, sir. Well, in theory.
Yeah.
If you had a webcam, but the magic of the internet brings us together tonight for the tasting of a craft beer this week that I think we're both a little bit excited, especially me because I really like the IPA style.
It's a great style.
Yeah, and you, sir, as a home brewer, certainly something that you, I think, have had a little bit of experience with and a little bit of success with as well.
Well, you know, I've done a few. I'm certainly not going to toot my own horn, but I've come up with some pretty tasty IPAs in my day.
Which is exactly what we're going to be tasting tonight, the Browns Brewing Company's India Pale Ale. Browns is based in Troy, New York, and founded in 1993. They're a small craft brewery right here in upstate New York, and they operate a small tap room down River Street in Troy, and serve up a whole list of craft beer, which is quite impressive. Their menu. Do you the IPA we're going to try tonight, Blake? But the just in looking at their site, I mean, they've got they do a whole lot. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, you know, I haven't actually been there to the restaurant, which actually maybe I should jot that down on my schedule. Sounds like it might be good. But I was glad to see that even at my local beverage store, I was able to pick up a 6-pack of the IPA.
Many of Brown's ales are available throughout New York State. It's a very impressively large operation for, you know, admittedly a small brewer. Their selection looks, I mean, they've got almost anything you could want. Pilsner, a Hefeweizen, an extra special bitter, which actually I think we're going to have to try at some point. That looks really good. And then, you know, dabbling in the ludicrous as well, the cherry raspberry ale.
Well, Tom, let's not make anyone angry. There could be fans of the, what did you say, cherry raspberry ales. Personally, I prefer the raspberry to the cherry a little bit.
Exactly. But tonight we're going to focus on the IPA. Now, this is a traditional style India Pale Ale, which includes three different types of hops. The Fuggles, Chinook, and Cascade hops blended. So, you know, for the layman like myself, what are the differences in hop varieties, and you know, how does a craft brewer bring them together?
Well, Tom, I don't want to overstep my bounds as a self-proclaimed authority, but I'd be happy to share some of the basics of the hop character that is added to the beer.
Absolutely.
Fuggles are an English hop.
Okay.
And you'll see them in more traditional English pale ales. The Chinook and the Cascades are American hops.
Okay.
From the Pacific Northwest. The Cascades, you have a real citrusy, floral kind of hop aroma, maybe the dry hopping, for example, that would give it more of the aroma and the smell. And the Chinooks are they're floral as well, but they're more bitter, and they're used to provide the bitterness, which of course IPAs are noted for.
Mm-hmm. Usually heavily hopped, you know, go well with heavier foods. I prefer them with saltier foods.
Like pretzels.
A pretzel and IPA dinner would probably be okay with me. But what you're also looking for is a little bit of balance as well, with the malt backbone of the beer.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's different approaches. I mean, certain, you know, brewers have made really hop heavy, you know, hop for hop heads, mm-hmm. just extremely bittered beers or extremely floral beers. So, I mean, there's definitely versions, especially, you know, recently people like the extremes, but I'm guessing that this is going to turn out to be a fairly balanced version.
Yeah, I was just reading on the website, it looks like they kind of tout it as a more traditional style. The something that kind of like a base, my new baseline IPA would be the one we tried up at the old Saratoga Brewery. I would say that's as
that would be the oh the new one at Old Saratoga.
Yeah, the White Hawk IPA.
Oh yeah, that was good. That was good.
I was going to say that would be my new baseline as far as what I envision a the most traditional recipe would kind of taste like.
Okay.
And then the more you depart from that in either hoppiness or malt, the maltiness that for me is kind of my new frame of reference.
Okay.
So then just to give you my my bent.
So we'll see how this stacks up.
Yeah, exactly. So that was that's kind of where I was coming from, and I was expecting this to be, very much along the lines of the White Hawk. So I've got my Omegang goblet out for tasting this evening.
As do I, Tom.
Excellent.
I.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm in good company.
I was going to remind you, it's probably not best to just drink it straight out of the bottle, but.
Oh,
I didn't want to insult you, your intelligence.
I've learned my lesson the hard way after drinking some of your homebrews directly from the bottle with your bottle conditioning.
I won't. I won't take that as an insult either.
No, it's really not, actually. So I'm going to do my...
Although, there's a few batches that maybe out of the bottle is just fine.
So I'm going to do my pour straight
down
the middle.
Yeah, I'm
going to
crack this open here.
Now, I've had mine open and sitting for out of the fridge for about half an hour now, just to warm it slightly.
Yes, the ambient temperature where I'm at is approximately 55 degrees. I've actually put it on a hot plate. No, it's been out warming up to the
Excellent.
Room temperature a little bit, but it's definitely, I'd say it's... It feels just about right. Not too cold, not too warm.
Now, this poured for me with about a 1-inch head, fairly thick.
Not, I would say the same here.
A little foamy, not like a stout or anything like that, but a very good ale kind of head on it.
I'd almost say it was soft, white, and creamy.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I think it's leaving.
I don't want to plagiarize the back of the beer bottle, but it seems they've really hit this description right on the head.
Yeah, no, it's leaving a little bit of, so to speak, leaving a little bit of lace on the glass. Mine is a deep, dark reddish copper color.
Yes, I would say that. Yeah, copper. I'd say that's. Although, if you might say it was a amber color, I'm not sure where I'm getting that word from.
Yeah, it depends. Depends if is that on the bottle. Also?
We'll just set that aside. We'll just set that aside.
And then, last but not least, just a quick whiff. So obviously the hops are the first thing on the nose, but it's not overpowering.
Certainly not.
I'd say more floral smelling than bitter.
Mm-hmm. I think all there's left to do is take a taste of this one.
You're just going to make me get right to this, aren't you?
Well, I've been waiting for this moment. I just can't hold back any longer.
All right, very good. Time for our first sip of the night of Brown's Brewing Company India Pale Ale.
Well, Tom?
Well, I gotta say, I like it.
Yeah, it's not in your face in any sense of the imagination.
No, I would say, still, again, using the old Saratoga White Hawk as a baseline, I would say this is slightly more hoppy, but not like overly bitter.
Sometimes you'll get that kind of remaining bitterness in the back of your throat.
Yeah, a little bit.
And this isn't as strong as other IPAs.
Definitely not. And this one clocks in, by the way, at 6.5% alcohol by volume. Yeah, I like it a lot. There's a medium body to it. It's not nothing about it is overpowering. Exactly like you said, it's not a hophead kind of IPA. It's not beat you over the head with the extra bitterness. It's very very balanced.
And very enjoyable. And I'm thinking it. You know, it might make a really good session beer. I could see myself, if I were going to pick an IPA, to have a few,
mm-hmm.
to sit back and have a few without mm-hmm. getting, you know, overly bittered out or too full or anything like that. It seems like one I could have a couple and it wouldn't
be
overwhelming.
Yeah, it's
overwhelming.
It's got some body to it, but it's not heavy at all. And now, you know, after draining half the glass, there's not nearly as much lace on the glass as well. So I would say that there's definitely not as much body to it. It's not as not as thick. So I think what you're saying is absolutely right. It would make a good session beer. Something that you could definitely have with dinner and then probably have another without busting your gut.
Not that I've ever had that problem.
No, never. No, of course not. Anyway, I'm impressed. I like it a lot. So that's the Browns Brewing Company India Pale Ale from Troy, New York.
And I will continue to sip on this throughout the interview.
Of course. So
if you don't... I'm sorry to interrupt, Tom, but if you don't hear anything, which apparently right now isn't a problem, it's because I'm drinking.
Well, very many of my faux pas are also blamed on the drinking. Though that's not an issue. The other thing we like to do on the 5-minute beer break, which is now turning into many, many more than 5 minutes.
That's what all the editing's for, Tom.
Yes. A brief overview of some of the stories this week on thebrewauthority.com, the craft beer fan website that you've been editing for about almost 10 months now.
Right on the head there. About 10 months.
It's thebrewauthority.com, a look at craft beer in New York State. The first story, beer consumption by country and state. What's this story about?
Well, I don't know if it's a story so much, but someone who reads the blog emailed in a link comparing beer consumption in different countries. And, you know, the USA isn't at the top of the list or at the bottom, as one might guess, mm-hmm. or not. Mm-hmm. But I was able to find some numbers on, by state, which state consumes the most beer. And in a total beer consumed, New York is number 4. But when you break it down per capita,
yeah,
well, I'll let you guess.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read the story, so I have no idea.
Sure.
Lay it on me.
50th.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I'm thinking... I'm thinking demographics of the state. I bet downstate you get a lot more wine drinking, per se. Strong, and there's also a very strong wine industry in New York State, from Long Island to the Finger Lakes.
That is very true. Yeah, I guess that would cut into the market a little bit, especially craft beer, because it's generally a more, I guess you could say, a more discerning demographic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of making stuff up, but...
Well, sure, it's a bit of a generalization, but not one that I think is based on anything other than kind of common sense. That does kind of make sense. But 50th, I guess, surprises me a little. I could see being in the bottom half.
And it's based on beer shipments in the state.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take into account home brewing or anything like that, but I'm imagining that would make a huge impact anyway on the number.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then it says here number one was Montana.
Yeah, yeah. Which actually doesn't surprise me. I don't know why that is, but it just sounds right.
Well, I guess I could see it. I guess I would have thought Colorado.
Mm. I think number two is New Hampshire.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's...
It's that mountain air.
I guess that's a little surprising to me. It's interesting. Moving on, some of the other stories that you had on the blog this week. The Syracuse Empire Brewing Company, they're preparing a pumpkin ale for this fall.
Yeah, I saw this. I just linked to a bunch of blog stories from earlier in the week or month, and this is on the Syracuse.com drinks blog. And Empire Brewing Company is located in the Armory Square District. I don't know if you're familiar with that in Syracuse.
Slightly, yeah. But you know, for any of our listeners, you know, a brief description is absolutely fine. Because
it's basically it's near the theater. It's kind of sidewalk shopping shops. There's an excellent beer bar there. A lot of little restaurants. It's just a nice little section of Syracuse to visit.
Yeah,
and they're cucked right in there, so you could visit. It's a nice place. But they're making a pumpkin ale this season. And they're roasting locally sourced pumpkins, and that's kind of a buzzword these days, the locally sourced. I guess it's a phrase, not a word.
Mm-hmm.
And also maple syrup.
Interesting. So,
I don't know. I like those kind of the pumpkin ales and such. So it piqued my curiosity, to say the least.
Interesting. And then Brewery Omegang is looking at shipping or selling only at their site. I didn't read it.
I think it says to look for it in stores
okay.
at least by November. I think it's already being shipped.
Gotcha. So that's the Adoration Ale, hopefully to be hitting stores shortly.
I'm always excited to try something new from them. I mean,
yeah, and I haven't. So they're saying this is supposed to be a Belgian style dark, which you know, in Omegang style, they're very heavy on the cooking spices in many of their recipes. And I see here, you know, you've got a brief list: coriander, cardamom, mace, sweet orange peel. Just to name a few, Omegang's recipes are so complex that
but complex at the same time.
Well, it's, I would say they I would
very
say,
elegant, very elegant beers, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean the rest they make the most of the ingredients that they choose, which is the whole is greater than the sum of the parts in a lot of their cases. The Abbey Ale, I think, being a very strong example of that.
Mm. One of my personal favorites, by the way.
Absolutely, yeah. The Abbey is, I think, possibly their best.
Favorite child.
Well, that's like saying the 599 is the best Ferrari. They're all good. Or, you know, better said, they're all exceptional.
Yes. Which one do you have in your garage again?
Oh yes, of course. That would be a Toyota 4Runner.
The family truckster, so to speak.
Exactly. And then what other quick stories did you have left over from this week?
Well, breaking news, I'm enjoying this beer. that's probably only funny to me. Well, actually, there was a quick link on here to the Dundee Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. We won't get into whether or not that's one of your personal favorite line of beers from the Rochester area.
Sure.
I had a friend who was at the Great American Brewfest recently.
Okay.
Great, you know, obviously a huge event. And their sign, when he visited their booth, I believe it was his story, but he said it said they were from Buffalo. So, a little confusion there.
I see.
But kind of a funny thing, seeing how they're from Rochester.
I was going to say they're not quite, they're at the Rochester...
Yeah, they're right, Rochester High Falls Brewery.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So a little bit of an identity crisis.
Yeah, he called them on it, and they said, which I'm sure they've appreciated.
So he's very shy, you're saying?
He's not a shy person. but yes, they blamed on the people they ordered the sign from.
I see.
Yeah, sure.
Any other stories that you wanted to touch on this week?
You know, Tom, I think we've got a pretty good grasp, and I don't want to take away reasons to visit the site either.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. So please do always remember that this has been your 5-minute beer break for this month from the Brew Authority. You can check back for more beer blogging from Blake at thebrewauthority.com.
And don't forget to submit your comments and story ideas to brewauthority@gmail.com. And feel free to follow me on Twitter. And you can find that at twitter.com/brewauthority, all one word.
Excellent. Blake, thank you for another beer break. This week was the Brown Brewing Company India Pale Ale. And next week we're looking at Southern Tears Unearthly IPA and also the Imperial Unearthly IPA. So stay tuned for the next episode for that. Blake, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Cheers.
Catch you next week. Cheers.
I'm the day bartender at the Early Bird Saloon. And from 6 o'clock to noon, I pour breakfast for the soaks who can't hold a fork and spoon. I take ham and scrambled egg, then I draw one from the keg and mix them in the blender. I'm the day bartender for the Lushington and Lout, for the bitter and the stout. And on Sundays there's communion for the drunkenly devout. To the racetrack from the flop, this is where they make a stop to begin their bender.
The New York Brew Authority 5-Minute Beer Break is released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License 3.0. Oh, man, I'm standing here.